If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.com. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The White House continues to warn about the dangerous impacts that sequestration will have on the country's middle class.
If you work for an hourly wage and you earn overtime, and you depend on that overtime to make ends meet, it is simply a fact that a reduction in overtime is a reduction in your pay.
White House spokesman Jay Carney. The automatic across-the-board cuts went into effect on Friday, and they seem likely to stay for at least the remainder of the current fiscal year. Neither President Obama nor House Speaker John Boehner appear willing to relitigate the spending cuts when the deadline to pass new funding for the federal government comes at the end of this month. The expectation is that the two sides will engage in another deficit reduction battle sometime this summer when the country reaches its debt limit. Meanwhile, Obama nominated a new Office of Management and Budget Chief today. If confirmed, Sylvia Matthews Burwell will receive the unenviable task of selling the president's next budget plan to Congress. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. Duke Brooks here. Welcome to Radio Free America, the Monday, March 4th, 2013 edition. Thanks a lot for being along tonight. Got a couple of things I wanted to share with you. Well, first off, let me tell you what we have in store for you this evening. It's going to be something that I can almost guarantee you're going to tell your grandchildren about if they speak English, which, you know, the way things are going, I'm beginning to wonder whether or not anybody in this country will be speaking English much beyond the year 2020, but I digress. Mike Hintz is going to be here. He is the top Tea Party guy in Wisconsin. We'll be hearing from Mike in the next hour. We will also, as usual, be hearing from the two Kevins. That is Kevin Whiteman, the Tar Heel, in about 15 minutes with his Religion of Peace update. I love the fact that the Mohammedans call themselves the Religion of Peace. It's basically, we are the most peaceful religion in the world. And anybody that says that we're not will have their heads cut off. I mean, that, you know, seriously, that's kind of what the deal is, right? The left will not acknowledge that under any circumstances, though. So what are you going to do? The other Kevin, Wade, the fighting blue hen from Delaware, will be here in the next hour with some common sense. Kevin has a plethora of common sense ideas to make. Greg Penglis is going to be joining us. It is going to be just the normal kind of rollicking, rocking, good time that everyone expects from Radio Free America. So, as they used to say many, many years ago, don't touch that dial. Now then, had a couple of interesting things happen during the week. Mark Halperin wrote in the Wall Street Journal on the first Friday, and this is called Psalm 23, Newly Revised According to Modern Principles. Mark Halperin writes, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of debt, I fear no bankruptcy, for Obama is my shepherd. He prepareth a table of food stamps before me, and maketh me lie down beside waters. He hath cleansed and seized, he hath made recede. Even though the bad Republicans wisheth the earth to be burnt unto a cinder, and will not buy the electric car that is good, for it hath zero emissions, and receiveth its power from a power plant, which hath not zero emissions, but the ways of the president are mysterious. He hath told the stubborn Israelites, evil builders of apartments, that they know not their own interests, and he does. and know not what they do when they fear the nuclear weapon of the Persians. The ways of the president are mysterious. He alloweth the Persians to get the nuclear weapon, unless he hath something up his sleeve. For he knoweth that when they behold him, they will stay their hand, and not burn the Israelites unto a cinder, as they pronounce. Yea, though Bernanke maketh funny money that will not compute, Obama prepareth a statistical table in front of the bad Republicans that showeth it will, if only they have faith. Fear not the Hellenes and the path they have trod, though for sure we shall follow them, the president will be our sword and our shield, his Hillary Rodham and his staff, they comfort us. Fear not the Chinese, whose power waxes as ours wanes, for someday thy children's children shall journey over the sea that Obama hath made recede, west of the land of Geffen and famous Amos, to build railroads for Beijing. Then the third world will have inherited the earth, and the strong will have been laid low, which is good, and which is also the Democrat platform. Verily we should be like the meek of the earth, and follow the commands of the president, the Amalekites, the EPA, and the IRS, which taketh our money, which is good, for we know not what to do with it. And Obama does, for you did not build it that. Once we were slaves in the land of Reagan, and if you attributeth the Reagan deficits to increased military spending and lower tax rates, trieth accounting for the changes in military expenditure and tax revenues in the Reagan years, for lo, when combined, they yieldeth a surplus. Then we were sinners in spending our own money for what we thought was our own good. But now we are free, for the president spendeth it for us, and he maketh miracles, for lo, he roasteth invisible chickens, and lo, he spendeth money that existeth not. Yea, though I accumulate debt higher than the mountains of Gilboa, and the deadbeats skip like rams, I shall not want, for Bernanke maketh funny money, and the president smiles upon the land, but not upon the bad Republicans. For they wisheth to live within their means, which surely must be evil. And what would you expect from people who are suspicious of Social Security, and wishes to burn the earth unto a cinder? But arithmetic notwithstanding, I will dwell in the house of Obama for all the days of my life. Why not four terms? And what about Michelle? For the Constitution liveth, and the earth having been purified, surely it will be good when, and where do I apply for, government assistance will be the only thing left. Mark Halperin is a senior fellow at the Claremont Institute and author of the recent novel In Sunlight and in Shadow. You have probably seen him on Fox and other TV news shows. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. Thank you very much for being along this evening. A couple of people in the chat room. Glad they're there, and I'm glad that you are as well. Obviously, the so-called sequester began several days ago. And I thought we would talk about that a little bit, you and I. I thought maybe we could sort of get to the bottom of it and try to figure out exactly, you know, what the real facts are. And I can tell you definitely, this is basically what it is. The sequester is simply, it is not a cut in government services. It is rather a reduction in the rate of growth of government services. So if the government budget was going to go up by 3% in fiscal 2014, it is now going to go up instead by 2.75% in fiscal 2014. This is what Washington calls a cut. the president showing up with cops and firemen behind him, the people at the education department saying, we have already begun to lay off teachers, which is ridiculous because the U.S. Department of Education doesn't employ teachers. Those things are done just to scare people into telling their congressmen, go ahead and vote for whatever Obama wants. That's the deal. And this is something that government has been doing in this country for a long time, is basically scaring people into doing things so that they will go ahead and accede to higher taxes. That is the entire point of it. There is no other reason. It is simply that government wants to grow larger and larger and larger all the time. And there's a reason behind that. You know, I saw a piece of videotape. This was in the 1980s when President Reagan, I believe, had gone to London, or maybe it was in Washington, I forget exactly. The president had gone and was speaking with Her Majesty, the Queen of England. I really like Her Majesty. Apparently she's having some health problems right now, and I hope that she recovers because I've always admired Her Majesty. In any event, he was explaining to Queen Elizabeth II that there is a rule in Washington, there is a rule in the U.S. government, that senior executives in the U.S. government, SES people, are paid not according to the productivity or the market demand for their forces, for their efforts. Rather, they are paid entirely based on the number of people they supervise. If you supervise 100 people, you get X number of dollars a year. If you supervise 123, you get X plus whatever. So there is a very, very clear incentive for government managers to constantly be trying to get more people under their control, get more bureaucrats in, never under any circumstances reduce the number of people in their staffs. They have a very, very direct, clear, and present, powerful incentive to keep their staffs, their agencies, their departments, their office of the acting chief, deputy assistant, staff administrative undersecretary to the assistant deputy director, as big and as bloated as they possibly can. That's the deal. And that's why the size and scale and scope and cost and price and reach of the United States federal government is constantly getting larger and larger and larger, obviously because of that one rule. It is about 13 minutes after the hour at Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. I want to invite you, maybe I should command everyone to join our very own warrior Catholic. His name is Chris Ricketts, and he's on conservativenationradio.org every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. Chris is not afraid to wave the banner of Christianity in a world becoming hostile to biblical principles. Actually, former U.S. Marines are not afraid of anything, are they? So join Chris to talk about Christianity, the Holy Bible, God's plan for mankind's salvation, also all kinds of current events. Chris might also explain his plan to teach the Swiss Guards a thing or two. The Warrior Catholic Show with Chris Ricketts, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org, Real Conservatism for Real Conservatives, about 14 and a half minutes after the hour. Thank you for being along. The number is 718-305-7176. Incidentally, not to change the subject. Well, I don't know. I mean, I change the subject all the time. All you have to do is be my girlfriend. You'll figure that out. we were informed the other day that when the Holy Father, Benedict XVI, when he officially moved to Castel Gandolfo and his retirement officially began, the Swiss guards laid down their arms. They are there to guard the Pope. They have been doing so, I think, since the 14th century or something. I mean, it's a, you know, and they are actual soldiers. They are not make-believe. They, you know, yes, they carry a pike-like device with an axe head on the end of it that is called the halberd, if I'm not mistaken. If you know more about this than I do, and the chances are almost everybody knows more about this than I do, give me a call at 718-305-7176. I remember in the fourth or fifth grade at St. Ignatius of Loyola in New York, which is where I went to elementary school, it was either Sister Julia or Miss Briglia, somebody, teaching us all about the Swiss guards and the history of the Vatican and everything, and very, very interesting. You know, you can think what you want about the Catholic Church. You can point to errant priests who have obviously done completely and totally unacceptable things. You can then follow that up with the idea that the Church really didn't do anything about it, and I'm not going to argue that one with you. You know, I'm not going to disagree with that. I agree. Although I was an altar boy when I was a kid, nobody ever did anything to me. However, I will tell you that the history of the Catholic Church is a tremendously fascinating subject, even if you're not Catholic. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you really cannot separate the history of Western civilization during the last 2,000 years up to now from the Catholic Church. The two of them, they are almost one and the same. Now then, it is about 17 minutes after the hour. Let us assume, just for the sake of argument, all right, that if you are listening to conservativenationradio.org right now, that you are a conservative. That means that you love America and you love our Constitution, just like all of us do here. Now, since that's the case, you're certainly going to want to find a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers, patriotic T-shirts and flags. And we've got your pipeline to that good stuff. It's right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That's going to take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. We are real conservatism for real conservatives. 18 minutes now after the hour. Going to take a real quick break, and more of your calls coming up when we get back, so don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
You must be your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to see you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. Good evening to you. Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America, the infamous, the widely known, the egotistical. That's right. It's about 20 minutes after the hour. Looks like we have a caller from the Tar Heel State, and I believe that would be Kevin Whiteman. Welcome aboard. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Semper Fidelis et Dominus Tecum, my friend.
Well, Dominus Vobiscum and et cum spiritu tuo, pal. You're good.
You remember your responses from your altar boy days. Very good.
Listen, when I was an altar boy, Kevin, the mass was said in Latin. That was it.
And that's mass that I attend.
And, you know, you must know, it's in Wake Forest. It's called Holy Redeemer. It's a Society of St. Pius X chapel in Wake Forest.
Yep.
Huh?
Yeah, I went to Mass there once when I was up in that neck of the woods.
Was it Father Novak who celebrated
Mass? It sure was, Father Kenneth Novak.
Oh, Father Novak. I love that guy. Anyway, what is going on with this crazy cohabitants
these days?
I've got
the latest on those wacky moon god worshippers.
Yeah, there you go.
It turns out the latest silliness, the hijinks those youngsters have been up to, in some Austrian town that's like 14 letters long and there's no vowels except for one letter that looks like the chemical symbol for boron. Anyways, some town there in Austria, the Albanian Muslim owners of a pizzeria, they poured 15 liters of accelerant, otherwise known as gasoline, all over their pizzeria in the dead of night, lit it on fire, and what little didn't burn, they spray-painted anti-immigrant slogans up there, wanting to put the blame on right-wing racists to cause up hate and discontent, plus also get a nice big insurance check. And without fail, the Muslims in this unpronounceable town there in Austria, and of course their commie buddies in the Green Party, they all protested raising hell about how terrible these right-wing fascists were that did this to these poor pizzeria dudes. But unfortunately for these Albanian Muslims, one of them, kind of like in that movie Hoffa, one of the guys that set fire to this place, he got pretty burned up himself. So it didn't take the cops very long to figure out it was an inside job. And so, you know, just to stir up hate and discontent and blame those horrible nationalists, they went and burned their own place to the ground.
You know, it's funny, Kevin, in the left, in their so-called thinking, nationalism, ethnic pride, linguistic solidarity, that is fine for everybody and everything except the Western industrialized democracies. Then it's not okay, but it sure is everywhere else. I have no idea what's up with these people. So do you know what kind of penalty are facing the Albanian Muslims and what on earth are they doing in Austria? Did they learn how to speak Austrian before they got there or not?
Of course not.
No.
Of course,
nobody speaks Austrian. The president
that's
thinks
yeah,
they
do. Yeah, you're
absolutely
right. It would
yeah,
be
the
German.
President thinks they do. But do you have any idea what is next for them? And how have the European press reported this nonsense?
It's been absolutely ignored. I got this off of a very obscure website, but it is legitimate. It was a news portal that's not read all that much, but for the most part, absolutely and totally ignored. Because after if you tell the truth about these fine folks, then you are a Islamophobe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you can count me in that number. Let me ask you this. What is the news portal in case people would like to actually find out more?
I found that off of theglobaldispatch.com.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Now, you and I both write for examiner.com.
Check.
And what has your latest effort been?
Oh, let me see. What I'm writing about? Oh, about that gal that tried to break into the NFL as a place kicker?
Okay.
I don't know if you've been following that or not.
No, I'm not the biggest sports fan in the world, even though at 6'2
yeah.
and 230, I'm pretty big. But, what's her deal?
She, her expertise as far as kicking an object down a green pasture is in her high school days. But she has played plenty of video games, she says. And somehow, somewhere, she got a tryout at the what they call the Regional Combine there in the New York, New Jersey area. And keep in mind, they only invite so many people. So I'm thinking, what about the kid that actually busted his patootie to get there
right.
but got bumped for this chick? But she went up there, complained she had an injury that she mysteriously never had, and she got up there as the dudes are routinely kicking 55-yard field goals. She
yeah.
gets up there, kicks one wobbly kick 19 yards, kicks the second one 13 yards.
Well, Kevin, I think that she's being discriminated against. I think that that is sexism.
It's got to be our fault.
It has to be. It has to be.
No. Blame Bush. It's Bush's fault.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, everything is his fault. Starting with the Spanish-American War of 1898, which was over in 6 or 8 months. Listen, I wanted to ask you something. You were a United States Marine, and I thank you for having protected my country and having served my country.
My pleasure. I
owe you a debt of thanks.
Nah.
Now, I have met many modern Marines,
mm-hmm.
and I will say to them, Semper Fi, because my dad was a Marine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that during World War II, Semper Fi had a lot of different meanings.
It sure did.
You could use that phrase or anything. However, Marines now say, oorah. What does that mean, and when did that come about?
It's just a guttural bastardization of huzzah.
Ah, okay. And that is a cheer that has been in use in at least in the U.S. Navy and the U.S. military since
mm-hmm.
Revolutionary War days.
That's true. Actually, during my time in, that kind of started to slowly go away. It's still pretty much enforced, but for Marines, it's usually just a grunt, usually followed by a scratching of your rump. Yeah, not exactly the most refined people in the world, but the enemy sure does hate us.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You've seen Full Metal Jacket, right?
Yeah.
What is your impression? And you went to the island, not San Diego, right?
I was a recruit in San Diego, but I did my DI time on Paris Island.
Oh, okay. All right.
But you've got to keep in mind, too, you know, that flick takes place back in the 60s. Whereas
yeah.
I went to boot camp in 77, and I was a DI in the mid-80s. So from what I talked to the old salts back in the 60s, they tell me that, yeah, that's pretty much it. The old phrase, beat them and keep them. But you know, even when I was a drill instructor, you know, I never laid my hands on a recruit.
No, I understand you're not allowed to do that other than to correct his posture.
Like I said, never laid my hands on one that didn't deserve it.
Okay.
I mean, to be honest, fine. We had to put our stripes on the line every day if you want
yeah.
to put a good Marine out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, Kevin, I'm retired now, so I can say it. Yeah, we did.
Thank you for being with me, and I look forward to speaking to you again next Monday, my friend.
Sleep no problem,
well.
Bud.
Have a great night.
Hey, you too. Take care. Bye now.
All right, Kevin. Semper Fi. All righty. It is 30 minutes after the hour. Duke Brooks here, the inimitable Kevin Whiteman with the Religion of Peace update. Going to take a break. More of your calls are coming up. Don't go away.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan.
So, do you like it?
Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
You're gonna fly. Hi, everyone. This is Reba McEntire for RAD. You know, I see a lot of funny things traveling all over this beautiful country of ours. But one thing that's not very funny is when someone gets in a car trying to drive when they're drunk. Take their keys away from them because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. This is Radio Free America. I am Duke Brooks. What's up to this anyway? About 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Thanks a lot for being along. That, of course, the one and only Electric Light Orchestra. And Above the Clouds, boy, I can't, you know, it, listen, let me tell you, it is not cool to get old. I used to be able to name every ELO album and every ELO song, and I think that that cut comes from an album called A New World's Record, but don't hold me to it. I used to know that stuff just back, you know, I could name every album Genesis ever did in sequence, likewise the Beatles, that kind of stuff. If you understand more about the Electric Light Orchestra than I do, you can give me a call at 718-305-7176 here at conservativenationradio.org. Many years ago, I was a DJ at a radio station in Delaware that was called Delmarva's Classic Rock, 97.1 The Fox. And it was great. This was in the mid-1990s, around 94, 96, back around that time. And I was the only everybody else there was a lot younger than I was. I was the only person on staff that actually had grown up with the music that we were playing. And there were a couple of, yeah, it was wild. The program director for most of the time was a guy named Derek Allen, who was a great guy, an excellent program director, very hardworking individual. And he and I were talking one day about classic rock, and let's see, in the mid-1990s, I was about 40. And I think Derek was probably in his mid to late 20s. He was a great guy. And we were talking about the fact, this was, obviously was off the air, but we were talking about the fact that no one else on staff who was on the air had actually grown up with that music, and I actually had. And he looked at me and he said, Duke, I can name 50 Beatles songs. And I said to him, that's great, Derek, but what constitutes proof that Paul is dead? And he looked at me for a moment with a look of sympathy, and he said, Duke, it's John that's dead. And at that point, I just realized that we were in very serious trouble. About a year later, they changed the format to smooth jazz. Yeah, baby, smooth jazz. Anyway, in case you are less than, 57 or something, back when Sgt. Pepper, Magical Mystery Tour, Abbey Road came out, the big rumor among Beatles fans was that Paul is dead. And there were all kinds of clues. Boy, we knew, we had it proven. It was absolute proof. We knew that Paul was dead. We knew he was. Of course, he was not. In any event, I mean, on the cover of Abbey Road, the license plate on the Volkswagen says 28IF, and everyone knew that that meant, we just all knew that it meant that if Paul had still been alive, he would have been 28, if, would have been 28 if he lived. And you see the way they, the four Beatles, are walking across Abbey Road. And first you see Ringo Starr dressed in black. That was the preacher at the graveside. Then you see John Lennon dressed all in white. God. That was God. Then you see Paul McCartney with a cigarette in one hand, wearing a suit with no tie, barefoot, with his eyes closed. He was the corpse. He was the corpse. And then last, behind McCartney, you saw George Harrison wearing blue jeans, chukka boots, and a denim shirt. It's the Gravedigger. It's the Gravedigger. Now, that was just the Abbey Road evidence, quote, evidence, unquote. The next piece of evidence, the one that came before that, if you had the original copy of Sgt. Pepper, and you opened it up on the inside, you would see in there a picture of the Beatles, the four of them. In my view, it was the greatest photo of four human beings ensemble that had ever been taken. Unbelievable picture. No four people ever looked that good. It was just an amazing picture. And they're wearing these kind of uniform satin with buttons and shoulder foragers and all this kind of mock marching band stuff, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And on McCartney's bicep, the sleeve, there is a patch, and it says OPD. We knew that that meant officially pronounced dead. Of course, it didn't mean any such thing. Let us go directly now live to the city by the bay. Greg Penglis, welcome aboard, my good friend.
Hello, Duke. How are you this evening? It's a beautiful sunny day, sunny afternoon here.
Well, what's it like out there now?
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's about 60 degrees. We've had our winter. We're done with it. Life is nice. It's sunny, but a little overcast. We're actually getting into a little bit of our fog cycle right now, which is early. But the city by the bay is still cool and wonderful, and we go through our couple of seasons. We go from winter to spring to winter to fall back to winter.
Ah. Let me ask you a question. What's the seafood like out there? I want to bring my girlfriend Linda, with whom you went to college, out there one day, and from what people say, the only place in the world where you can get seafood that is as good is in New Orleans.
Oh, it's different seafood there. They have a lot more fresh stuff because of the Mississippi there, but as well as the Gulf and the Delta. But here, it's Dungeness crab, is our local seafood, and the season runs November through March, but in the fall it's best. It's the freshest. And that's when they're catching it just outside the bay, right off the coast here. And that is our local seafood fare.
Does it taste like the kind of crabs that you would get here on the East Coast, you know, the so-called Maryland crab, or is it entirely different?
It's different, and it's a little more work because all the meat's kind of locked up in these little cells. So it does take a bit to get to it, but Dungeness crab, and I know some folks on Fisherman's Wharf, a couple of Italian families that go back to the earliest families that came here to fish. I mean, this is how San Francisco, one of the ways it got started. We had a Spanish mission under Father Junipero Serra, Mission Dolores, and we had Italian fishermen come here. And that's how the place got going. And they settled, you know, in the North Beach area, which used to be the North Beach of the city. And folks started fishing down, you know, in the bay and off the ocean. And that's how San Francisco got going. And then the gold rush hit.
Well, it's a city with a tremendous history, but sadly, it has become a left-wing counterculture, alternative lifestyle, identity, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein. What is the latest outrage against the U.S. Constitution that you want to bring to us tonight?
Oh, you know, it's funny. I don't have anything at this particular time. I wish I had a chance to look up some stuff. Most of the things that are going on are federal right now. There isn't a whole lot here. The thing is, I should give you a news service, Cal Watchdog, one of our local conservative newscasts out here. And the things that are happening are more out in the state. Jerry Brown is still bankrupting the state. They're still spending money they don't have. We are a magnet for illegal aliens, welfare folks, because the benefits are so high here. And laws are not being enforced, particularly against, you know, illegal aliens. So there are sanctuary cities. San Francisco is a sanctuary city, that whole farce. So there's a lot that's just going on an ongoing basis. Nothing, you know, out of the ordinary is happening right now. It's just a general, you know, pretty much outrageous thing that's happening here. But if you live here, you can overlook some of the liberal politics and just enjoy the city. And that's what I do, because I work in the city. I'm a tour guide. You know, I show folks all around, and there's some really beautiful parts out here. But there is always that undertone that a lot of, you know, San Francisco is run by, you know, some raving socialists, and it does make a difference. Makes a difference in the cost of living. The taxes are high even on tourists because you've got hotel tax, you've got a tax to pay for the city's supposedly free health care. You know, so that's an additional expense coming out here. You know, you'll see that on your bill when you go to a restaurant.
Well, I understand that, and you know, as they say, if you think health care is expensive now, just wait until it's free.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of those things that the left, it seems to me, Greg, that the central defining theory and philosophy of the left is that they have figured out a way around the laws of supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
And the laws of supply and demand, like the laws of physics, cannot be broken. They cannot even be bent. And when government tries to do it, it upsets a balance that exists, and it brings unnecessary and useless hardship upon people that are working for a living, either producing things or providing a service. And I really wish that people would get the idea out of their minds that there is any way that civilization can materially exist except in observation of the laws of supply and demand. It's the only thing that works. There's no way around it.
Whether they believe it or not, that's what's happening. But we've just had the most amazing thing happen this week, just in the last few days, and we should all be celebrating. The federal government actually cut back a little bit of their spending. Not much, but a little bit with the sequester. And instead of you know, hanging from the rooftops screaming that this is wonderful news, you've got the liberals saying this is a horrible thing. I want to make one real point here quickly relating to your supply and demand. The liberal left, socialist left, believes that government spending is what makes an economy run, when we all know it's just the opposite. It's the lack of spending, it's spending in the private sector, that's what actually creates wealth. So
that's right.
If you violate the laws of supply and demand, if you believe that government spending is the answer to everything, then you think the sequester is a terrible thing, because how can the economy recover if you cut back spending? And those of us on the conservative side who know better are saying, wait a minute, you morons, the government cannot possibly spend its way into a better economy because they have to take the money that they would spend from us first, waste a bunch of it in the bureaucracy, and then put a smaller portion back in from what they took out. And that's why that theory falls flat on its face. So, if you take all this in, the sequester is actually a wonderful thing, and I think we should be celebrating.
To say nothing of the fact that what they call the sequester and what they call cuts, in fact and in reality, are not actually cuts. They are reductions in the projected growth rate of government. That's all they are. If
no, it wouldn't matter.
Were,
go ahead.
I was going to say, if government would actually eliminate the U.S. Department of Commerce, just eliminate it. And, you know, I remember seeing Michael Kinsley, that famous liberal, many years ago on Crossfire on CNN, admitting, and he was a, you know, an incredible statist liberal, big government liberal, big spending liberal, that the U.S. Department of Commerce was certainly a net drain on the economy. No one really understands what they do. I saw the former chairman of General Motors, not Stempel, but the guy after him, I forget who it was. He said, I am the chairman of the world's largest industrial corporation. I have been for 9 years or however long it was. He said, in that time, I have never once received any communication from the U.S. Department of Commerce. And I have never communicated with them. What on earth does it do? What does the U.S. Department of Education do? They have never taught a single child. They do nothing. What does the U.S. Department of Energy do? Well, it was created ostensibly to make America energy independent. It has not done that. Why are they still there, Greg? Greg, I've got to take a break, but I'd like you to hang out with me if you will, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Now then, it is about 13 minutes before the top of the hour. You know, speaking of the left, they, of course, have infected our media in this country. And the leftist media would love it if conservatives like us came to believe that we're just a couple of lonely voices out there in the wilderness. That is not the case, so don't be fooled. Americans identifying themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even polls by liberals. Now, if you respect traditional American values, we've got a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we call it around here. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. So join up, find out what's happening, be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I do hope to see you there soon. TRADAM is a liberal-free website. It is about 12 minutes now before the top of the hour. Going to take a quick break. Greg Penglis and I will be back along with your calls, so don't go away.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
If you love America, you're among friends here. You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along. That was the Electric Light Orchestra with Here Is the News from the album Time from 1981. That one I do remember. Greg Penglis joins us live from San Francisco. Greg, you don't wear flowers in your hair, do you?
Only at costume parties if I want to do a hippie retro thing.
Well, man, you know, we are now in the 200th anniversary of the War of 1812. We are in the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, and I'll be talking about that in the next hour, of course. But I just wonder, almost no one knows anything about the War of 1812, and the War of 1812 actually is one of the most important conflicts and events in our country's history. Arguably the second most important one. And I just, I wonder what is going on with education. Now, you've got a daughter in high school, correct?
Yes, I do.
And what is she being taught?
Well, she's in a private Christian school, so she's getting a real education.
Good.
You know, it's
good.
She's always been there. I mean, that was a decision made a long time ago that she would get a real education. Of course, I'm always talking to her, too, about these issues, so she's probably more familiar with them than she may want to be. But she's getting a traditional, good education with real history, real math, real English, real subjects. It's not squishy, modern, you know, psychobabble that's going on in the schools today. But you mentioned three departments in the federal government here right before the break, and it's kind of interesting because my libertarian side comes out. You know, when you mention the Department of Commerce, and the business of business is promoting themselves. They shouldn't have a government agency doing it. They shouldn't have subsidies. They shouldn't have bailouts. They shouldn't
have
all kinds of things that are going on right now. And they shouldn't have, you know, tax deductions for advertising or shipping jobs all over the place. Corporations need to make a profit. Now, I'm all for making a profit, but they need to make a profit without government help. So there's no need for a Commerce Department to reward certain friends of the administration. The next one you mentioned was energy. Now, one of the things I'll be doing with my next report on Penglis Online News, it's going to be called What If America Really Was a Free Country? What Would It Look Like? And one of the things I'm going to be doing is talking about how the federal government needs to give back all the land that they have in the states that isn't on a border or isn't a territory, like Washington, D.C., or, you know, territories that we have, you know, around the world. But if it's a state, then all that land needs to go back to the state. And those states need to develop that land for energy or do with it as they see fit or keep them in state parks or whatever. So the Energy Department doesn't need to exist either because it's not a function of the federal government as enumerated in Article 1, Section 8.
The third one you mentioned was
education, okay? We don't need anything above a local school board as far as education is concerned because those
That's
are the
right.
folks that make most direct decisions. So you've got principals, you've got a local school board, that's it. You don't need a county, you don't need a state, and you certainly don't need a federal Department of Education. But all this comes from something we talked about last week, which is Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, where anything not specifically enumerated in those powers, the federal government has no legal authority to spend money, to create an administration, to regulate, to pass laws, or do anything.
That's absolutely right. And that is something that the progressives have been able to get the courts to basically sign off on, is the idea that in the preamble, there is a phrase that says to promote the general welfare. And they have used that as a tail to wag the dog and to basically void out almost everything else in the U.S. Constitution. It's really, it would, if it were not so sad and so tragic, it would almost be a joke.
Well, it's hard, you know, to read the Constitution and see what it's supposed to do and realize that nobody charged with enforcing it is actually enforcing it. But I want to bring up an idea I talked about last week, which was actually sponsoring a constitutional budget. In other words, you take the items in Article 1, Section 8, you assign a value to those, and Heritage has already done that, actually, and we see how much it would cost to fund a constitutional budget, and then we get a legislator to sponsor it, and the whole point of this exercise, because I know it's not going to pass, and we talked about that, but the point is to get people on the record actually voting against a constitutional budget. That's what I would like to see.
I would like to see that, too. More than that, actually, I'd like to see the states call a constitutional convention. That would really be a butt-kicking, you know, I can think of five or six things that need to be done to amend the Constitution right off the top of my head. And
you can't do it because, now, if you have a constitutional convention, you're going to open up the entire Constitution to a vote, and you're going to have enough states that would get rid of the Second Amendment, that redo the First Amendment. They take all the things that are good about the Constitution, even if they're not enforced, they would take the good things and remove them. Now, if you want to amend the Constitution, if you have a few specific items you want to change, and I do too, like removing the income tax, like having states elect senators again, and there's a couple of other things I'm sure you remember, that's what we need to do. But if you start messing with the whole thing and open it up, you could cause far more damage than you would do good, I think.
Well, the states that would call for a constitutional convention would not be the liberal states. And, you know, I guess there are simply times, and extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures. And right now we are in really very, very serious trouble. And the only thing that can be done to get around or to take care of U.S. Supreme Court rulings that are obviously inane is to amend the Constitution. The Congress can, from time to time, remove things from the jurisdiction of the federal courts. I don't think that they have done it recently. They, you know, there was a time when I thought that the reason it still says "In God We Trust," and we have about 2 minutes left on our dollar bills, the Supreme Court ruled that was unconstitutional because Madeleine Murray O'Hare, an atheist and lawyer, brought a suit. But it still says "In God We Trust" on our coinage and on our paper money. There was a time when I thought that the Congress had simply said, well, you know, the Supreme Court can rule as it wants to, but the Congress, of course, has, you know, the Congress has more power than the other two branches combined, literally. But apparently that's not really what happened. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Not really. No, I'm not sure where it's going. Yeah. Here's my thing, though. A couple things. Well, first of all, I want to announce that I am a citizen journalist, and I have my own conservative news broadcast on YouTube.
Yeah, where can we find that?
Yeah, we tried to announce this last week. It's called Penglis Online News. That's P-E-N-G-L-I-S. P-E-N-G-L-I-S Online News. And I'm doing the kind of broadcast that you'd love to see all the major networks do. Let me get back to your point, though, really quickly in the last minute. I'm a procedure guy. I don't like messing with procedure. I don't like messing with the Constitution. We already have people that are not obeying the laws and not obeying the Constitution as it is, so making more laws to change in the Constitution isn't the problem. We need to find folks who are going to actually enforce the Constitution, enforce our laws, and do the right thing. It's not a legal legislative problem. It's a people problem. And we need to get the right people in the right positions to make the difference.
Good luck with that. Greg, we will speak with you again next week.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having
me on. This is conservativenationradio.org. Oh, I think I stepped on Greg by mistake. Or if your calls are coming up, don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. 80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car, and the Times of Outdoor Action got us kicked out of the park? Getting frisky in the dark, I gave your eye a poke. I think the dog is also in the bed. Do I smell smoke? You and me. We never give up, you and me. We never give up, you and me. We never give up, you and me. We never ever give up.
Up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org.
Boy, we got options tonight.
Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
This is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationRadio.org. About 3 minutes after the top of the hour, we are into hour number two. I am very, very glad that you have joined me here. The number is 718-305-7176. Mike Hintz should be joining us shortly. He will be calling in from Wisconsin, the dairy state. Mike is one of the top guys in the Tea Party out there, and we look forward to hearing from him. Here is something from Newsmax, actually from the Washington Post, by way of Newsmax. The Washington Post on Thursday slammed both Congress and President Obama for choosing, quote, not to govern, unquote, and reaching a deal to avert the $85 billion in broad government cuts that were scheduled to take place on Friday. To govern is to choose, the Post said in an editorial. Congress and President Obama have chosen not to govern instead. Each side has concluded that its interest lies in letting the sequester proceed as scheduled and then trying to win the political blame game. This abdication is bad policy, the Post said. The newspaper attacked the idea of indiscriminate agency cuts and how these cuts will lead to employee furloughs and loss of pay. In addition, sequestration will do little to solve the nation's long-term budget issues. The editorial then discusses the failed bills that were voted on Thursday, including how one GOP proposal would have given Obama more flexibility in deciding where to make cuts. And the GOP was just trying to shift the focus away from its refusal to compromise, the Post editorial said. Quoting it again, Washington has reached a strange place indeed when the opposition party offers the president more control over spending and he refuses it, unquote, the Post continued. Quoting again now, apparently, in addition to its policy objections, the White House figured that a softened sequester couldn't force Republicans to accept a long-term deal, including higher revenue. It's a gamble that the worse things might get now, the better they will get later. A strange place and a sad one, the Post concluded. Yeah. I'll tell you what. The Washington Post is all about being part of the company town, Washington, D.C., and if the federal government makes cuts in Washington, D.C., or if it doesn't grow as much as they want, the local economy there is going to suffer, and frankly, that is 90% of what the Washington Post complaint is. Mike Hintz, welcome aboard. Thanks for joining me on conservativenationradio.org. How you doing, buddy? Mike?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, great. Are you, it sounds like you're having some, maybe some Skype issues or something.
I'm having some lag.
Okay, all right. Well, welcome aboard. Glad you could make it. So why don't you, you are the top guy in the state of Wisconsin's Tea Party, and why don't you tell me a little bit about how that came into existence and what exactly you folks have planned out there?
Well, we've got first my history with the Tea Party Patriots dates back to 2009 when I.
Okay.
Luke, I have to apologize. I'm getting so much feedback here. I'm not.
All right. Try listening strictly on your telephone, and turn down your computer. That would probably be the best way to eliminate that. Is that working for you?
Okay. Yeah. I don't even have the telephone on, so I'll have to dial back in.
Yeah, why don't you just do that with your phone, and we'll go ahead and I will recognize your number as soon as Mike calls back in. It's, you know, the computer radio is different from regular radio, and there is a lag on the internet. It does take time for those packets to make their way around the world several times, which is exactly what they have to do before you can, before you can hear it. So Mike should be calling in shortly. Mike is an executive with a large manufacturing company. And like many people who really care about their own futures and who care about the future of this country, he is a conservative. And he is the top guy in the Tea Party in Wisconsin. We should be hearing from Mike on his regular phone again any moment now. And, of course, he'll be joining us as soon as that happens. I will be putting them on the air. It is about 8 minutes after the hour. Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. The number here is 718-305-7176. Now, for those of you who are extreme devotees of CNR and extreme followers of Radio Free America, you're probably aware that next week is the second Monday of the month of March, which means that Radio Free America, well, I've got to be honest with you. I really have not yet decided exactly what the schedule of next week's show is going to be, but Michael Hintz is back with us. Michael, how are you doing out there? Can you hear better now?
I can hear much better now, Duke. Thank
you. Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. So how did you get started in the Tea Party in Wisconsin? And just give us a little bit of history.
Okay, I'll do that. First of all, my interest stemmed from I saw Rick Santelli's original rant on CNBC. And
yeah, a lot of people saw that, yeah.
Well, it got played a lot, but I saw it the day it happened, and it was awe-inspiring, to say the least. Later in the year, I noticed an advertisement online for an online newspaper sponsored by the Tea Party Patriots called the New Patriot Journal, and they were looking for writers. And so I applied for a writer position and was accepted. And then after making some comments on things that had been posted by other writers, they asked me to be the editor of the site. And then that led to my being asked to be the state coordinator for the state of Wisconsin. And the rest, as they say, is history. As many of your listeners may know, here in Wisconsin, we've had couple of years of knockdown, drag-out fights over Governor Walker and his changes to the bargaining rights of state employee unions. And we have now gone from a $3.6 billion deficit to a $600 million surplus. Without
yeah, it's amazing what those things will do, isn't it?
It really is.
You know?
And there are more fights coming.
Yeah, well, this is something that I've never really understood. I'm not really sure anyone actually does. The civil service laws in this country, at least at the federal level, are over 130 years old, just like some federal bureaucrats, I guess. I guess I don't really know what it is about employment by government that means that you are basically entitled to a paycheck at taxpayer's expense for the rest of your life and even beyond the grave. Why, you know, why is that? I mean, just because somebody works for government, they're absolutely entitled to an income for the rest of their lives? I don't get it, Mike.
Well, they're definitely not. And even FDR, who is one of the icons of the liberal side of our country, said that there is no right to bargain for federal employees. And as you may remember, Ronald Reagan made that very clear with the air traffic controller strike. He said,
oh, I remember that clearly.
You're not allowed to strike.
More clearly than many people. I was flying a light helicopter. When that strike happened, I was flying a light helicopter reporting traffic on a radio station every day right near the Syracuse Hancock International Airport. And you know, that was the deal. And but I can, you know, the fact of the matter is the government employees in this country get a plethora of benefits and guarantees and absolute ironclad warranties and that sort of thing that people in the private sector don't get. They also make more money than the people in the private sector. How much coddling can the taxpayers afford? I guess that's my question.
Well,
that might be yours as well.
They can't afford the coddling, and that's why there's something that needs to be done about this. I would say that this is a prime example of the law of unintended consequences. You may remember that the arrangements that we have now came out of in the 1800s when there was Tammany Hall-type politics at all levels of government where when one administration came in at the federal government level, for example, all the civil servants that were in office at that time got kicked out and the new administration's friends were brought in. And the country, in its wisdom at that time, said, no, that shouldn't be right. Below a certain level, people should be in their positions by reason of merit, not because they're friends of the president. Now, what has happened over time is, in order to take away the patronage, that the rules have gotten so difficult and so extensive that it's almost impossible to fire a federal employee. I can remember many years ago walking, I happened to be visiting the Export-Import Bank of the United States, and although there were quasi-governmental agency. I happened to walk past an office where there was a gentleman with nothing on his desk except his feet reading a newspaper, and I walked past and I said, what the heck is that guy's job? And the person who was giving me the tour said, well, he's a problem employee, but it would take more time and money than it's worth to get rid of them than to just let them sit there and do nothing. That kind of stuff has to stop.
You wouldn't find that in a private company, would you?
No, certainly not.
No, not one I've ever worked for. Mike, let me ask you to stand by for one moment here. I'm going to briefly put you on hold. I want to bring a message to everybody, and that message is this, and that is the conservatives, which is you and me, we respect pioneers. We always have. We respect the pioneers that went across our country. We respect pioneers that opened up fields like aviation and telecommunication, you know, the Wright brothers, Alexander Graham Bell, et cetera. And our own Brenda Ward has been with us at conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. And I got to tell you, Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingraham, Ann Coulter, Monica Crowley, they've got nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. That rolls out here Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. That is the place to hear from real women who are real patriots, so let your voice be heard. Incidentally, conservative guys, you are welcome at our very own B&B, too. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a normal guy. I'm a straight guy, and when I find out there's going to be a bunch of conservative women in one place, frankly, I'm there. It is Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org. That's Wednesday nights at 7 Eastern, 6 Central. Real conservatism for real conservatives. 718-305-7176. Let's check back in with Mike Hintz, who is up in, you're in Wisconsin, Mike, but what city? You're in Milwaukee, right?
Yes, I'm in a suburb of Milwaukee called Brookfield.
All right, very fine. So let me ask you this before we go. What is next? What is the Wisconsin Tea Party working on right now? What's the next thing in your agenda?
Well, the next thing on our agenda is to support the governor and his efforts to do two things in this coming legislative session. One is that he's working hard to reduce the income tax rates here in Wisconsin. Right now, for the typical middle-class family, Wisconsin is ranked in the top 10 states in the country for income tax rates, and the governor has proposed in his most recent budget a reduction in those rates that would actually make our rates here in Wisconsin compare favorably to the rates in other states. It won't bring them to zero, but it'll get us out of the top 10 and then some. The second thing is a year ago, the governor and the legislature passed a law saying that every state regulatory agency that has issued rules has to have those rules reviewed by the legislature. And in the course of the coming legislative session, the legislatures, every single one of them is serving on one committee or another and looking at the agencies that their committee oversees and going through the rules one by one and determining whether those rules make sense, and if they don't make sense, they're getting rid of them.
Boy, I'll bet the bureaucrats in like the Office of the Acting Chief Deputy Assistant Staff Administrative Undersecretary, I'll bet they don't like that law at all, do they?
Oh, they don't like that law at all. You are absolutely right.
No. Mike, thank you for joining us. I've got to move on, but you and I will be speaking again very soon, my friend, and we certainly look forward to hearing from you regularly here on conservativenationradio.org. Thanks for being with me, pal.
Thank you for having me on your show, and I look forward to talking to you again.
All right, very fine.
All right.
It is about 19 minutes after the hour. This is conservativenationradio.org. This is Radio Free America. I am Duke Brooks, what's left of him anyway. You know, we at conservativenationradio.org are very proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service that there is, and you know what it is. It's LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There really is nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org. Then just click on the LifeLock banner. We look forward to hearing from you in that context. About 20 after the hour, going to take a quick break. More of your calls are coming up. Don't go away.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Yes, indeed. You know, I'm not heading over to Africa to stalk any big game anytime soon. I can tell you that right now. 21 minutes after the hour, Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along with me. 718-305-7176. You know, if you're a conservative, you are all about our country's history. And we are right now in the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, which I think anybody that has paid any attention to it will understand that the Civil War was the last of the old wars and the first of the new wars. It was, as Shelby Foote has said, it was one heck of a crossroads in our country's history. March 4th was a Wednesday in 1863. That was 150 years ago today. And this is from The Civil War Day by Day by E.B. and Barbara Long. March 4th, Wednesday, 1863, the Federal Congress adjourned. There was fighting at Unionville, Tennessee, and at Independence Hill in Prince William County, Virginia. Federal forces from Franklin, Tennessee, moved toward Thompson Station or Spring Hill, Tennessee. Surrounded by Van Dorn and Forrest, the Federal cavalry escaped, but the Union infantry was forced to surrender on March 5th after a heavy engagement. The same day, a 10-day federal expedition from Murfreesboro began operating in the same area with several skirmishes. This mentions Forrest, and that, of course, is none other than Nathan Bedford Forrest, who had been known as the Wizard of the Saddle. And Nathan Bedford Forrest, I would say that most people who really understand military history would probably have to rank General Forrest as the greatest cavalry commander of all time. I mean, he was, well, the guy was a genius, there's no question about it. They used to sing, if you want to have a good time, join the cavalry. And I'll bet it was. You know, the Civil War must have been an unbelievable time. Just unbelievable. I wonder if we're headed for another one like that. You know, I wonder if we are. In a way, it's very, very sad. 718-305-7176. If you have an outlook on whether we are heading towards a new Civil War in this country, and what would that be like? You know, Greg Penglis and I spoke a short while ago on the air here about the idea of there being a constitutional convention. And Greg brought up the idea that he had sounded like he really was not that much in favor of such a thing because you could do a lot of harm at a constitution. I agree with that. I agree. But I also think that this federal government actually has to operate at the behest of the states. It used to until 1913, when the method of electing senators was changed. Greg mentioned that briefly. Prior to 1913, U.S. senators were appointed by their state legislatures. They were not directly elected by the people. Now they are directly elected by the people. Ultimately, that means that the states have to answer to the federal government, not the other way around. When the senators were appointed by their state legislatures, the state legislatures, the U.S. senators had to answer to them, or they could get rid of them. And that is not the way things are now. Prior to the federal income tax, the establishment of the IRS, which was also around the time of World War I, we're at the 100th anniversary of World War I. Unbelievable. For 100 years, it's going to be the 100th anniversary next August. It's pretty amazing. But before the Internal Revenue Service came into existence, the average federal legislator served for just over two terms. That was the average. Now, the average federal, since then, in the last 100 years, the average federal legislator serves for almost four terms. And the IRS code is the entire reason behind that. I mean, there's absolutely no question about it. They use that code to reward their friends and punish their enemies. That's what it's for. There's no doubt. We will be hearing from Kevin Wade in a couple of minutes. He has some thoughts on that. They are laced with common sense. Kevin has an awful lot of common sense, as you're aware. 718-305-7176 is the number. Duke Brooks here. Thank you very much for being along this evening. We've been talking, as usual, rambling all over the place. It's just now 33 minutes after the hour, 27 minutes to go for this edition of Radio Free America. We've talked about all kinds of things, from the true nature of the sequester to what the federal government is doing, having a Department of Education. You know, I knew a guy in Delaware about a year and a half ago, and I mentioned to him his wife worked as a lunch lady at a local school. Okay, when I was a kid going to school, I always made friends with the lunch ladies, let me tell you, because I've always had a pretty much a titanic appetite. I'm heavier than I ought to be. It's not that bad, but I'm heavier than I should be. And I've always loved food. And I'm not one of these people that, you know, is extremely picky and finds all kinds of problems with this dish and that drink. You know, that's not me. I mean, if the food is halfway decent, I'm there. I'm just fine with it. I don't mind institutional type of food that you would get in the military. You know, that's fine with me. Anyway, I mentioned to him that the U.S. Department of Education has a budget every year of $30 billion or $300 billion or $3.8 trillion, whatever it is. It's ridiculous. And that they've never taught a single child, and the entire department really ought to just be decommissioned. There's absolutely no reason for it to be there at all. And he got very upset. Oh, my God, you know, the children will never be taught. And it took me about 20 minutes to explain to him that local schools are paid for by local taxes, not by the federal government. They're paid for by local taxes. That's how they work. That's how they function. That's how his wife, the lunch lady, got her paycheck. She was a member of the National School Lunch Association. And you know, I mean, she was a nice person. There's no question about it. And she definitely liked children, and she liked serving them. And that's fine. That's wonderful. But she did not need, and no one does, a U.S. Department of Education in order to make that happen. It's superfluous. The whole reason it's there is that when Jimmy Carter was running for president in 1976, he went to the NEA and he said, if you and your members will endorse me and I win, I'll create a separate Department of Education and I'm going to staff it with every out-of-work bureaucrat and would-be PhD that you guys know of. And there you go. It is 30 minutes after the hour. More of your calls and Common Sense with Kevin Wade coming up, so don't go away.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Yes, indeed. This is Radio Free America. This is ConservativeNationRadio.org. Duke Brooks here. The number, if you want to join the madness, if you want to be one of the inmates running this particular asylum, 718-305-7176. Thanks a lot for being along. You know, that first spot that we heard for Third Lantern, that was our very own Carl Higbee that was talking about Third Lantern. I haven't tried their barbecue sauce. I'd like to. I probably will one day. My girlfriend, Linda, with whom I live, which means that since she and I are not married, although if I was going to marry anybody, frankly, it would be her, I am profoundly and extraordinarily interested in my girlfriend. I am profoundly and extraordinarily disinterested in marriage. Been there, done that, no thanks. However, you know, there are a lot of people going around saying the marriage laws are set up to discriminate against gays. That's wrong. The marriage laws are set up to discriminate in favor of married people and against single people. The marriage laws, really, they don't care why you're single. They are there to encourage marriage. You know, the president a couple of days ago was giving a speech to a bunch of young black people somewhere. I forget where it was, but he was talking about how important it is that people get married, stay married, and that children be raised by a married couple. I agree with the president on that 100%. No question about it. Even a clock that is broken is right twice a day. And this may be one of the president's times. However, the fact of the matter is, when Dan Quayle basically expressed the same idea when he criticized the Candace Bergen TV character called Murphy Brown, and he said she is single, decided to have a child as if it's just another lifestyle choice, he was pilloried for that. They ripped him apart. They hated him for that. Barack Obama says basically the same thing, and not a peep out of the liberal media, not one peep. 718-305-7176 is the number. I hope that you will give me a call and share your point of view on this or virtually any other subject. I really don't care what it is. Just give a shout. I'll be happy to talk to you. 718-305-7176. Kevin Wade will be here with Common Sense with Kevin Wade in just a couple of minutes, so you're not going to want to miss that. Kevin and I are in the process of working to get Common Sense with Kevin Wade as a radio feature nationwide, and this actually takes up a fair amount of my time every day, but I am absolutely okay with that because I can, you know, I can see that this is something that could have a great future in it. And I've always been all about the future. I mean, I remember being about a 9-year-old kid growing up in New York City and going to the New York World's Fair. My mom and I and my dad, my parents, the three of us, we probably went to the New York World's Fair, the 64-65 World's Fair. We probably went there about, oh, I don't know, 8 or 10 times. A lot of people, of course, would have to make a special trip if they were coming from, you know, like the Jayhawk state of Kansas or, you know, the Wolverine state of Michigan. But for us, we just lived on the other side of the East River, so we could drive there in half an hour and go to the New York World's Fair, and it was wonderful. It was great. It was the time when Project Gemini was just about to get going. A lot of the exhibits had an outer space theme. Certainly Martin Marietta did. General Motors had their famous World of Tomorrow exhibit. It was really something. Fantastic models, just great stuff. And it was just a wonderful time. But, you know, here we are. It's the year 2013, and I keep asking myself, okay, why can't I go to the moon for a weekend? Okay, where's my pressurized jetpack that I'm going to go to fly to work with? You know, the James Bond jet belt, rocket belt. You know, where's that thing? Why is it that in my garage I don't have a nuclear generator the size of a beach ball that will provide me all the power that I want for free for the next 10,000? Where's that? You know, all those predictions did not get. The only thing that did come true is that everybody now owns their own computer. Okay? That's the only thing that came true. Nothing else did. Yeah, we went to the moon, but you can't go there for the weekend. You know, you're not going to fly to work. Okay, yeah, there was a long time when I had my own helicopter, and I used it for work. I didn't use it to get to work. It was work, and I loved it. I mean, from the time I was 4 years old, I wanted to fly a helicopter, and I was very, very lucky. You know, now, it wasn't handed to me. It didn't just come by itself. I had to work for it. I worked really hard and really long to get where I wanted to go, and eventually I did. And, you know, I'm very, very happy about that. I'm not flying full-time anymore because the radio industry was deregulated around 1994, after that, the financial landscape of the entire industry has been dramatically different, and you really can't do, you can't get a single station in a single market to put up their own exclusive traffic helicopter anymore. It's very, very difficult to do that. I can't imagine, I don't think any stations in the country do. I think that they all trade to a company like Metro Traffic Control. Anyway, it is 20 minutes before the top of the hour, so it's time to hear from Kevin Wade. More of your calls are coming up.
Huge economic problems loom on our horizon. The U.S. now owes over $16 trillion, and if it's not fixed, our nation will be ruined. Career politicians in Washington are focused on one thing, re-election. That's a big part of the problem. They avoid the needed tough decisions that risk their momentary popularity. Congressmen and senators, in office for decades, use taxation and spending to reward their friends and punish their enemies. Special interests fund the re-elections in return for a share in the plunder. These career legislators don't work in the best interests of the American people. A thought on how to correct this serious problem after this.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. I have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Lifelong legislators are not what the founding fathers had in mind. The problems we now face were caused by these untouchable machine politicians, and they see no reason to solve the problems as long as they get reelected. We can limit their terms with a constitutional amendment and let regular Americans solve the problems. That's just common sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I'd kind of like to hear your opinion on that. I would also like to say Common Sense with Kevin Wade coming soon to an actual radio station near you. Anyway, we are working on it. About 18 minutes now before the top of the hour. This is the home stretch of this edition of Radio Free America. Check out the Radio Free America Facebook page and conservativenationradio.org Facebook page to find out about next Monday night's edition. I work here in Delaware as the spokesman for my local Republican Party. I also have an elected position in the Republican Party here. And next Monday night, we have our party elections, and I'm probably going to have someone actually sit in for me next Monday, and it should be interesting. Have not yet worked that out completely, but I certainly will. If not, then I'll be in around 9 o'clock. Second Monday of the month, that's pretty much the deal. Anyway, it is about, about 16 minutes or so until the top of the hour. All American patriots, and that obviously means you and me, we were all kind of heartbroken when we heard the news that former U.S. Navy SEAL and combat sniper Chris Kyle had been murdered at a Texas rifle range last month. The circumstances definitely were tragic, but Chris's accomplishments in the defense of our nation are legendary. Since his memory must never be forgotten, sculptor Gregory Mara is now completing a life-size bronze sculpture to be placed in permanent memoriam to Chris in Texas. Please help American patriots with this fitting tribute to an American hero. Go to gregmarastudios.net, that's GREGMARRA studios.net, and make a generous donation or mail what you can to Gregory Mara Studios, 5005 76th Street, East Bradenton, Florida, 34203. American patriots everywhere will thank you, and we certainly will. Apparently, that statue is just about, I think it's going to actually arrive in Texas on Thursday. And what they're trying to do now, we're still trying to raise funds for it because the statue is heavy. It's not the kind of thing you can put in the backseat of your car and drive from Florida to Texas in an afternoon. I don't think you can drive from Bradenton, Florida, to Dallas, Texas in an afternoon anyway. I think that would probably, that's got to take 8 or 10 hours. If you know more about that, you know, please let me know. Give me a call, 718-305-7176 is the number here, because I have, you know, sadly, I mean, it's almost like I feel like, you know, I can't really call myself an American because I have not been to Texas. I passed through it once, I think, on an airliner. That was about it. As far as Florida is concerned, I have spent some time in Florida a couple of different times, but I'm not entirely familiar with Florida. It would be a wonderful thing if a person were able to live in each of our 50 states for at least a couple of months and get to know them that way. You know, a state like Montana. Montana is huge. I've never been there. But heck, man, all you got to do is look at a map and you can tell it is just giant. It's got to take you a day and a half to drive from one end of it to another, from Missoula to Kalispell or something. I don't know. I'm not that familiar with the Big Sky State. But I understand it is absolutely gorgeous. I've met some people from Montana. They were wonderful people. Montana obviously is a wonderful place. And I'm just sad that not everyone has had the opportunity to be to every part of our country. Our country is the most remarkable and incredible place in the history of mankind. About 13 minutes before the top of the hour, more Radio Free America, more of your calls coming up. Don't go away.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right, but don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cool time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Awesome.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. This is really the home stretch of conservativenationradio.org. Well, it's the home stretch of Radio Free America therein. Let's put it that way. 718-305-7176. About 10 minutes left until we wrap things up here and we return the warden to control of this particular asylum. Very glad that you could be along this Monday evening. I hope you had a great time. March is here. So far, it has not really come in like a lion. I am hoping that it takes on lamb-like qualities very, very soon. Incidentally, we are going to return to daylight savings time already next weekend. By this time next week, we will have sprung ahead 1 hour. And, you know, I wish Congress would just leave that stuff alone. You know, standard time only comprises about 4.5 months of the year, 5 months of the year. Why don't they just go all one thing or all another? Just doesn't make any sense. I think that Barbara Buffing is joining us now to talk about women patriots. Barbara, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you? Well, first I wanted to mention some information that I had on the Chris Kyle statue. It is on its way to Texas. They left this afternoon. And Greg Mara. Yeah, he put a little blurb in here. It said, God bless Carl from Reliable Carriers, who is transporting the statue, and the Patriot Guard for escorting the statue. Angels are on our back.
Wonderful.
So they have, they have the motorcycles on their backs. They do need prayers to make sure that everything stays intact with the statue. If all your listeners would go ahead and say a little prayer about that. And then tomorrow, Greg Mara is going to be on the front page of his local newspaper, which is the Herald Tribune. And they're going to talk, he talks about his little history and his life and why he's doing what he did with the sculpture.
Well, that is terrific. And, you know, that is a fitting tribute to Chris Kyle and the circumstances under which his life came to an end. If it wasn't so tragic, it would be ridiculous, but there's nothing that we can do about it now. And we all need to remember Chris and the tremendous things that he did for our country. So what will you and Brenda be talking about tomorrow night on Women Patriots?
Well, we have executive editor Judy Lloyd with Thoughtful Women. It's thoughtfulwomen.org, and their mission actually is an energized group of women, mothers and daughters, who have joined forces in creating new media website to challenge the status quo and the ideas of the media, the government, bureaucrats, knowing what's best for us in our daily lives. Thoughtful Women is a media agitator, and they publish original articles for women. So I'm really interested in hearing more of what she's going to be talking about, because she had on their website, it has news, the economy, the taking side, diversion, videos, everyday women, education, healthcare. So there's a little bit of everything in here for women to help women in these trying days.
Well, that is
so that
terrific.
That would be us on
yep.
Women Patriots tomorrow, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, and right here on the station.
Fantastic. Barbara, please give Brenda my best. I look forward to hearing it tomorrow night, as always, and I know that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people out there that share my view, because I know you folks have a, a very, very strong audience, and rightly so. Thank you for being with me tonight, and I hope to talk to you again real soon, pal.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Barbara.
You're welcome.
All right, very fine. That will be Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing tomorrow night at 7 Eastern, 6 Central, right here on conservativenationradio.org. Right now, you are listening to Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. It is 5 minutes until we wrap things up here. Any last-minute comments? You are at free and complete liberty to call in, 718-305-7176. Couple of catch-all things. These actually, let's see here. CNSnews.com, this is actually from a little while ago. Why does a shoot-to-kill outfit like Homeland Security need small-caliber bullets like 22s that are made for hunting small game? Is this a backdoor attempt at gun control, a way around a Congress that is scared to death of gun legislation? Just dry up the ammo and the guns will be useless? Information has it that the manufacturers are straining every nerve trying to keep up with the demand, but with Homeland Security commandeering so much of their production, the task is impossible. If the government can make bullets disappear from store shelves, why couldn't it make food disappear or fuel or medicine or anything else for that matter? This apparently is written by Charlie Daniels. Charlie says that he believes the government has taken it upon itself the power to interrupt agriculture at any time it chooses under the guise of keeping tainted or otherwise unsafe food out of the market, up to and including the planting and harvesting of private home gardens. I remember hearing a year or two ago, a little more than 2 years ago at this point, that there was a provision of a law that Obama had signed that said that government now has the authority to regulate the garden in your home. I mean, this is getting absolutely out of control. Most absurd thing I think I've ever heard. Those guys, they really need to be put back inside their box, locked up, and the key thrown away. I am just, it is absolutely absurd. Absolutely absurd. I also have a note here about a skit on Saturday Night Live. I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in probably, 25 years or something. It stopped being funny at some point in the early to mid-1980s, as far as I was concerned. But they apparently did a skit about Jesus Christ based on this new Quentin Tarantino movie called Django Unchained. This offended a lot of people, and the fact of the matter is, if you are offended by something that the networks do, and if you know other people that are offended, you can do something about it. You can stop buying the products that are advertised on that network, and you can make sure that the companies that produce and advertise those products are aware of what you are doing and why. Oh, there goes that woman from Blog Talk Radio again. You may have heard it 90 seconds. That's how much time we have left. You know, whenever I hear that woman, she, with her British accent and everything, she starts before the show begins when I'm sitting here getting things ready, and towards the end, she begins counting down, and it reminds me of the first two Alien movies. You know, you now have 60 seconds to reach minimum safe distance. The option to override self-destruct has expired. Anyway, this has been a wonderful time tonight. Check in with Facebook, check in with CNR.org, and you will see where and when and whom we will be next Monday night. Until then, have a wonderful week, and God bless America.